Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Becca Bruner. So a chicken and a pig came across a church building, church sign. That out front on that sign said, "Help us feed the poor." So they saw that and thought immediately the chicken said, "That's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's help feed the poor. We can give them bacon and eggs." Pig thought about it for a minute and said, "Yeah, it's just one thing that makes me a little uncomfortable about that. Feeding the poor, it's good. Bacon and eggs, you know, for you, that just requires a contribution. For me, that's total commitment." Following Jesus requires total commitment. Following Jesus means crowning him Lord of all. Lord of our professional lives. Lord of our relationships. Lord of our politics. Lord of our finances. Following Jesus means we hold nothing back. Following Jesus means we say yes to going all in. Now, in ancient Greece, when it was time for the Olympic Games, athletes from all around the country would be handed a torch with the Olympic flame. And everybody would run their leg of the race, and they would hand off the torch to another runner, and eventually that torch would make its way all the way to the altar in Olympia. Now, other flames came and went, but this one was never to be extinguished. This flame, they said, was special. It expressed, they said, the light of spirit and knowledge and life that gets passed on from one generation to the next, to the next. And so the people who ran with this torch, they were keepers of the flame. They were passers of the torch. These athletes in Olympia, they did this literally, of course, but in a figurative sense, God has done the very same thing. Since the dawn of creation, God has handed off his dream of community to a human being and said, "Hand it off to somebody else." And for them to hand it off to somebody else from the beginning of time until this very day. So the question God always poses to his people is, will you guard the flame? Will you pass on the torch? All of us have had somebody pass the torch on to us. That's why we're here. Maybe for you it was a parent or a teacher, somebody who saw gifts or potential in you. Somebody gave you responsibility. Somebody nurtured your faith. Somebody cheered you on. That's why you're here today. So the question that each one of us has to ask ourselves is, do I have people in my life that I'm passing the torch on to? Who am I investing in, and how am I doing it? The future of the church, the future of this church, the future of any church depends on how we answer that question, depends on the passing of the torch. That's what Jesus commands us to do. Matthew records his final conversation with his disciples, that moment before Jesus ascended to heaven, in this way. It's in Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. Jesus said, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" These words of Jesus have come to be known as the Great Commission. Jesus' command that we pass on to others what we ourselves have received from him. And as we learn to live that out, helps to think about three questions. First, who gives the Great Commission? What is it that we are commissioned to do? And how do we go about doing it? Who, what, and how? So first, who gives this great commission? Well, none other than the risen Christ, the one who conquered death, the one who introduces himself saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus says, "All authority." In Greek, it's the word exousia, and it means absolute power, complete jurisdiction. All authority. All authority in heaven and on earth. That means Jesus' authority is greater than any other power in the universe. No thing is outside Jesus' authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. God, the Almighty One, the maker of heaven and earth, has given this authority to his Son. So from Wall Street to Washington, D.C., from Syria to Shanghai, from San Francisco to Philadelphia, every circumstance, every situation, every factor is under Jesus' final authority. So who gives this great commission? Well, none other than the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. So the second question, what is it that we're commissioned to do? Well, the answer is in verse 19. Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Go and make nice people." He doesn't even say, "Go make churchgoers," or "Go make Presbyterians." No, Jesus says, "Go make disciples." Well, what's a disciple? The best definition I've come across comes from a book I've used to lead some groups. It's by a pastor named Greg Ogden, and he writes this. He says, "A disciple is one who responds in faith and obedience to the gracious call to follow Jesus Christ. Being a disciple is a lifelong process of dying to self while allowing Jesus Christ to come alive in us." Being a disciple starts the moment I say yes, the moment I invite Jesus to take up residence in my heart and live his life in me. But that's just the beginning. See, being a disciple, it's a lifelong process. As I get to know Jesus more and more, as I learn from him and seek to obey him, being a disciple is this exciting, challenging, lifelong process of dying to myself while allowing Jesus Christ to come alive in me. But it doesn't end with me. Being a disciple also means sharing with others. Sharing in natural and effective ways so that they can come to know Jesus too. The third question, how do we do that? How do we carry out this great commission? Well, Jesus tells us again, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. We carry out the Great Commission by baptizing those who put their trust in Jesus, whether they are children of believing parents or those who have come to Christ as adults. And we carry out the Great Commission by teaching what Jesus taught us. And the point of this teaching, according to Jesus, is to obey everything I have commanded you. So the point of this teaching isn't just head knowledge, but life knowledge. The goal of this teaching is changed behavior, learning to walk our talk, obeying what Jesus tells us rather than what the world tells us. The Great Commission is passing on the torch. The flame that was ignited by God passed on to the disciples by Jesus and passed on and on and on from one generation to the next to you and me here today. It's happening in so many beautiful, incredible ways at this church. I realized after 7:30, I should have just shut up and let them talk and start sharing those stories, but I'm going to share a few with you here today. brag on some of you a little bit, most of whom are kind of unsung heroes, nobody that you'd see standing up here waving their flag around of the ministry that they're doing, but they're doing it, and it's making a difference. See, when I think about the Great Commission at Paoli Presbyterian Church, I think of people like Deb Wolbach and Bev Lesh. Now, I had to have Daphne do a little research for me to find out. I asked, who is our longest tenured children's Sunday school teacher? And that started a little competition, but they had to think. And it came down to these two. Now, Bev thinks she's been teaching maybe 22, 24 years, which is no small thing, but Deb wins, I think, with 30 years teaching our children's Sunday school. And we did a little math. Thinking, okay, over the years, you know, plus or minus, what's the average? She's taught, I think, second grade Sunday school. What's the average number? And let's zero in around 15 kids average per year. So thinking about that, 30 years times 15 kids, that means 450 kids have been discipled over the years by Deb Wolbach in our children's Sunday school. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But there's more. I saw somebody wanted to clap, but there's more. So when I think about the Great Commission at Paoli Presbyterian Church, I think of Bill Norsini. At this very moment, Bill Norsini is down with our middle school students, where he is every week. And I don't know how many years he's been doing that, but it's a lot, and it's been since before I got here. But every week, Bill is at middle school youth group. He's, anytime they go on a retreat, any special event, he is there, giving up his time, giving up his energy, probably sometimes his patience, certainly on those retreats, his sleep. Nobody sleeps on these retreats. All to share the love of Jesus with a bunch of unruly teenagers. When I think about the Great Commission, I think about Don and Kim Thompson, who for 20-some-ish, 5-ish, some lot of years, opened up their living room to the high school youth of this church. Every Tuesday night, Don was in his chair with his Bible, and Kim was there with a plate of cookies, and students arrived in droves. To the end that even though this season of Tuesday nights at Don's has ended, the ministry absolutely hasn't. I think you guys are going to go broke, right? Plane tickets you're having to buy and wedding presents they're having to give. To the teenagers who are now young adults and getting married and inviting their friends, their mentors, and some would consider their pastors to be part of their weddings. When I think about the Great Commission at Paoli, I think about Dottie Spencer, who was my daughter Eleanor's first vacation Bible school leader. And Eleanor was very nervous to go to vacation Bible school. She, for a long time, didn't ever want to leave my side when she was at church. And in fact, there have been times that she's been right here as I've been preaching or serving communion. So that week at vacation Bible school, she was nervous and didn't want to leave me. And so she started bringing a little security object or stuffed animal doggy. And she eventually was able to go and be part of her group and enjoy the week. But the best part of that week was actually, was a couple weeks after, when we got a handwritten note from Dottie, who wrote it to Eleanor and Doggie and thanked them for being part of her group and said specific personal things about what she appreciated about Eleanor and offered her prayer and her blessing for Eleanor's growth and her faith. And you know what? She didn't just write that to Eleanor. I know Dottie. She wrote a note like that to every single kid in her group. When I think about the Great Commission at Paoli Presbyterian Church, I think about Jack and Carol Sue Taylor, who are confusing me because they're sitting in the wrong spot. Because if you know Jack and Carol Sue, you know they're always in that back corner. But if you didn't know them, to a visitor, you'd be somewhat confused when you saw them when you first came in. You'd think either they don't know each other or they don't like each other, because they're always sitting on opposite ends of the pew every week when you come in. But here's the thing, if you know Jack and Carol Sue, they do know each other, and I do think they like each other, and they love their kids and their grandkids. And they get here early every Sunday morning to block off that pew for those kids and grandkids who are just doing their darndest to get those kids up and dressed and fed and to church kind of on time. But they know when they get here, there's going to be a seat here waiting for them. When I think about the Great Commission at Paoli Presbyterian Church, I think about Julia Ruxius. You've heard the U.S. Postal Service, they have a slogan, right? Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night can stop them. Well, they ain't got nothing on Julia, because she is here week in and week out with her three boys, David and Charlie and Eric. And they're here for Sunday school, they're here for worship, they're here for youth group, they're here for confirmation. They come back to help take care of the kids at 5:05. She helps lead preschool, vacation Bible school ministry, and all kinds of other stuff. In a world that is filled with competition for our kids, even, yes, now on Sundays, Julia remains faithful with her kids. She's faithful with all our kids, week in and week out. When I think about the Great Commission at Paoli Presbyterian Church, I think about Steve Krentel. He's only been here about 6 years, and in those 6 years, he has launched 3 men's small groups, investing in the lives of no fewer than a dozen men. He's taught these men how to read the Bible and how to actually apply it to their everyday lives. He's prayed with them and for them, and he's allowed them to pray with him. Steve's been the primary influence in at least one man coming to that first-time decision to accept Jesus Christ, and it has changed that man's heart and changed that man's life. In these groups, Steve has witnessed to his faith in Jesus Christ in his words and in his actions, and he has made disciples. So who gives this great commission? The resurrected Son of God, Jesus Christ. What are we commissioned to do? We are commissioned to be and make disciples of Jesus Christ. And how do we go about doing it? Baptizing and teaching to obey Jesus Christ. Oh, and one more thing. We carry out the Great Commission by baptizing and teaching and by remembering. Remember, Jesus says. Remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, left to ourselves, we are incapable of carrying out the Great Commission. Left to ourselves, we are never going to accomplish something as huge as making disciples of all nations, but we are not left to ourselves. We are not expected to carry out this Great Commission on our own. As we live out the Great Commission, as we go and make disciples of all nations, we do not go on our own. Jesus goes with us. So when you go, when you trust, when you try, you don't go alone. You never go alone. Jesus makes this clear. He says, I am always with you. Literally, the words are to the very end of time, all the days, every single day, not just most days, not just good days, all the days. So Jesus says, pass the torch. Keep the flame burning. I know so many of you do this. You do this so well. We could have just opened it up for all of your stories of all the ways the Great Commission is being lived out in this church. And so I want to close by just reminding you of the significance of what you do. God's dream, the church, has continued to exist from the beginning of time until now here in Paoli Presbyterian Church, because in every generation, somebody made the decision. They said, I will pass on that torch. I will live out the Great Commission. And so from a human perspective, this dream, God's plan for this community, from a human perspective, we're just always, always, always one generation away from extinction, unless somebody chooses to do what you are doing, unless somebody pays the price that you are paying. So it is indescribably important that we all understand that it is a noble thing that you do. And one day God is going to pull you aside and you will receive the greatest commendation any human being can ever receive. God will say to you, well done. Well done. Good, faithful servant.